Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. My guest today is, of course, Megan Buchanan. And Megan is on the first leg of her journey to climb Mount Everest. So you're in Nepal right now, Kathmandu?
I am. I am in Kathmandu at the Yak and Yeti Hotel, which is a staple for all climbers here. Yes.
So tell everybody what it's like.
You know, it's interesting. So this is my fourth time to Nepal, and it's very different right now just because of COVID. And, you know, and actually this is the last time I have not been here since the big earthquake that happened. And so there's a lot that's been rebuilt. The airport's been rebuilt, but my drive over here is the least amount of traffic I have ever seen in Kathmandu. And for anyone who's been here knows it's just cars on top of cars and bikes and bicycles and animals. But it was actually very quiet, one, because there was a national holiday going on, but also because just talking to a lot of our guides, because of COVID, a lot has been locked down. So I've been here for several days. I came in a little bit early just because I know that you need a couple of days to adjust to the difference. So I'm 12 hours different from California. And so, of course, then, 15 hours different, I think, for New York. But so I've been sequestered mainly to the hotel. Just for safety's sake, there isn't a hardcore quarantine, and I have been vaccinated, but just as a group of trekking, wanting to keep ourselves as healthy as possible, we are sticking to the hotel and not really exposing ourselves outside of our bubble. And so I've been doing workouts here, and then really actually for myself, just it's so much goes into this in preparation. And my regular day job, transitioning someone, I worked up until the day that I was leaving. And so I've been just really relaxing and decompressing and getting my mindset just ready for this trek, which I am. And all my teammates got in last night. We did morning and afternoon briefings, and we just run through things. We do a gear check, so all of our guides come through. They make sure that we do have all the gear that we'll need to be successful. We just did a team dinner together, doing our final packing this evening, and that includes leaving a city bag here at the hotel. They'll keep it for 2 months for us. While we're gone, and then we fly out. We meet in the lobby at 5 a.m., and then we will be flying to Lukla, all dressed, ready to hike, and we will start our journey tomorrow morning.
So how long will it take you to get to base camp?
We are going to take about 9-10 days to get to base camp. So we'll start hiking at about Lukla is about 7,500 feet, and then we will be going to base camp, which is 17,500 feet. They really do want us to take a good time to acclimatize on our way to that point to make sure that we are just all really healthy and feeling well when we roll into base camp. Also, we're going to be doing another mountain. We'll go up and over Lobo Shay, which is a high peak, to also help us get into base camp and acclimatize as well. So it will be a good 9-10 days.
I bet you're so excited.
I am so excited. And, you know, and I think that's part of it, too. I have finally had a couple minutes to really think about this and how much preparation has gone into it and the hard work. And we talked about this last time and really how happy I was just to get to the point to be able to get on the plane and be ready. But now that I've talked to other people that were here in Kathmandu preparing, everyone feels this sense of relief and accomplishment. Everyone has spent so much time preparing for this. And for me, it's been 2 years preparing just because last year was canceled. And that is a good amount of time. And that's a commitment of saying no to friends' events or, you know, your weekends, your weeknights, a lot of your time dedicating to training properly for this that I've invested. And so, yes, it's really exciting to finally be at this point to, I guess, for it all to come to fruition. And my teammates are amazing. My guide is absolutely fantastic. And the owner of the company is here as well, Mike Hamill, Climbing the Seven Summits. And there's just so much positivity and such amazing people. I'm really excited for this journey.
So how many people are on your team?
There's in my direct team, thank you. In my direct team, there's 9 climbers. Mm-hmm. And then we have actually like 5 main guides, 2 Western guides and 3 Nepali guides. One of our guides, Pemchuri, he was actually on the Nepalese K2 team, the first Nepalese team to summit K2. He is one of our guides, which is an amazing honor to have. I'm really thrilled about that. So that just happened a few months ago. So we're really excited about that.
So you had your first dinner with your whole team yesterday. That had to be really emotional, wasn't it?
You know, it always it is in a way, because you meet these people, you don't know them. Well, and actually, I mean, again, luckily I knew a couple of them from Uray when I got to train with them in Colorado, but the other people, you meet them not knowing anything about them, but it's easy to jump really quickly into this kinship because you know you're going to spend night and day the next 2 months with these people. And you already know you are going to end up being so close. And so, yeah, you just kind of jump right into conversations. And again, at this point, people that you climb with to do Everest, there's no average Joe. There's no one average. And so it's these amazing stories of you all start getting into the mountaineering world and how small and close-knit it is, and all the guides you've been with and all these amazing people that you're talking about. And so it you all have that in common, and the conversations just start rolling. And yeah, I think I made a toast tonight. I just said, I want to make it's really nice to meet all my new best friends. Cause we're going to end up being best friends by the end of this.
So what's the nationality of your teammates?
So for my team, most everyone is from the United States. And for Climbing the Seven Summits as a mountaineering company, they have several different groups going. There's a lot of private guided ones. There is a Sherpa guided team. And then I am in the Western guided team, 9 of us. And so 8 of us are from the United States. One gentleman is actually from Ecuador, Mario. I met him in Uray, and he actually does not speak a lot of English. So we do have a guide with us, though, that speaks Spanish as well. And I have downloaded my Spanish-English translation app so that we can communicate. I hope to learn a little more Spanish and Nepali on this trip. So.
It's funny that you say that about an app. And the food co-op that I do shopping in, a few years ago, I met a fellow who was born in Ecuador. And he married a woman a couple of years ago, and she came up here. And I had taken her before COVID. I had taken her to a mall on Black Friday, And, you know, her conversational skills aren't exactly how you and I speak. So when we would talk and she didn't understand, she would hand me her phone. She would make me talk into the app. It would translate into Spanish, and then we would be able to communicate that way. It was really interesting.
Yes, right? Like, we think, you know, technology, of course, I'm an engineer. I love technology, but there are a lot of things that are make this world so overwhelming, and the social media and all these things, but there's so many beautiful things like this, exactly, so that you can communicate. And so that this guy Mario doesn't feel so left out, and really a part of the team. So it's going to be really interesting. I do know that there's for the company I'm with, Climbing Seven Summits. There's another. I think it's a private tour. There's a gentleman from Australia who's here as well. But you know, looking around at the Yak and Yeti, there's other companies here as well. And I know there's a group of Japanese that have come in. I heard there's a group of Russians that are coming in. And then we have other people from all over. Overall, I did get some stats. I think in 2019, there were about 380, climbers, not support crew, but people that got the passes to come. But this year, I think it's going to be more around 250 climbers, maybe up to 300. But so, like we said, there's going to be less climbers this year, which is, you know, good for everyone who's actually on the hill.
But that's still good. Now, one thing,
yeah,
I saw in your Facebook pictures is how you were climbing vertically on ice. And
yes.
That was pretty scary, to say the least. Okay, now, if you chose to come down by foot, you would have to come down vertically on that same mountain ledge that's all icy, mm-hmm, right?
Yes. So we rappel. So that we have a belay device, and you rappel down. So you're lowering yourself on a rope. And so that's how you get down. And rappelling is actually a lot more fun than going up. So so that's a different device that you use, and you just kind of lower yourself down. And, in your harness, like you're sitting in your harness and get rappelled down. So, yes,
okay,
we will have to go down.
Now, what kind of a machine, I'm sure that human beings do not, you know, harness this for you. What kind of machine do you use for this particular aspect of going up and down on ice like that?
By machine, what do you mean? Like,
okay, now, if you're going to go up vertically on the ice, there's,
yeah,
not going to be somebody pulling you, right? There's going to be some kind of machine that's going to help you or guide you to get up and down, right?
No, so what we have is, so there's fixed ropes. So there will be ropes that are anchored. And so that's part of what, so on my Instagram, the training I was doing is we have what's called an ascender, and it's handheld, and it has like teeth that grip. So you move it up a rope and it holds, and then you can move your feet up with your crampons. So you're all self-powered. You will use your, and you're sitting, and your harness is connected to this and the fixed line. So you will work your way up by moving your ascender up, letting it hold onto the rope, and then moving your feet up and pulling yourself up. That is how you get up things. Then to go back down is the rappelling device. you'll belay yourself. So it is another little device that goes into a rope, and it has little teeth on an end, so you can lower yourself down by slowly lowering the rope. And so, you know, it's just a technique that you learn. And mainly, again, with mountaineering, you either kind of come from a hiking background or a climbing background, an ice climber or a rock climber. All of the climbers, ice and rock, they are so good with the technical devices and ascenders and, well, not necessarily ascenders, but belaying. And so those are techniques that I have had to learn over the last couple of years to allow myself to be able to do this. And we actually, so we have, my main guide and the other guy, Mark, a gentleman, Mark, is actually with Uphill Athlete, and he's an amazing climber. He actually, his wife has come, Kate Rutherford, and she is actually a Patagonia ambassador. She is a world-renowned rock climber and just an absolute amazing woman. I just met her, and she's absolutely fantastic, and she's going to be going to base camp with us. And she is one of the leading like female rock climbers in the world right now. And it's just an amazing group of people that you get to meet when you do this sort of thing.
What's the food like?
Good question. So Nepal, especially in Kathmandu, they really are accustomed to Westerners. And so they have everything. I had the best quinoa and salad with avocado tonight. And so they had, like at lunch, some people had pulled pork sliders and french fries. And so they really have everything here in Kathmandu. As you move, you get into the Himalaya or you get to the Annapurna region, once you start trekking and the higher up you go, definitely the more traditional food becomes. I'd say for base camp, that trek is so used to tourism, you will always be able to get their version of like pizza, french fries, they'll do pasta. But also the traditional things are just a lot of potato and cabbage, a thing called dalbat, which I've had a million times. And it is, this mixture of cabbage and potatoes. There'll be a lot of rice dishes, Indian food, curries, that sort of thing. But especially as you get higher on the mountain, they just want to be able to give you really filling, warm food and calories. And so, you'll have a lot of rice dishes and pasta. I am gluten-free, and so they have always been able to – well, most like Indian food is and Nepalese food really is gluten-free anyway. They're always able to cater to that. And then there'll always be hot drinks, and thank goodness there's always coffee in the morning. And, what they do in the morning is a lot of, like, oatmeal or muesli, eggs, that sort of thing.
So tell me, as you were heading to the airport, did you feel your heart racing? That had to be such an exciting, exciting afternoon for you.
I just felt such a relief and was able to relax and exhale. Again, it was so much work to get prepared, all the right things, all the last minute things. There were a couple last minute things I really needed that I had ordered a long time ago. But as we know, across the world, there's so many supply chain issues across the world right now. I was sent the wrong things, or my things never showed up.
Right.
I was a little stressed about that. We figured it out. But honestly, when I got on that plane, and I feel it like right now in my chest, I could just breathe finally. And for my work, I'm transitioning positions. So I was fully training someone to take over my job, which is very intensive. And we're at a really hot spot in my work right now. And so I wanted to make sure that was taken care of. And so, yeah, when I got on that plane, I've got a little glass of champagne, and I could just finally breathe. And I have felt actually so relaxed since then. So this has been, you know, I'm just getting in the right headspace, and I'm just ready. I'm just ready to start hiking.
So as we're recording this, it's almost 11 o'clock Eastern time. So 11 o'clock a.m. What time is it where you are?
So it is 8:35 p.m., which is really weird. Nepal always has like this weird 15-minute difference or something like that. It's really weird. There's like it's not fully on the hour. So it's 8:35. And so I have to tonight, what I still have left to do, we have several different duffel bags we have to separate all of our gear into. One bag we determine is our base camp bag. That is all of our very high altitude gear, and that will be sent ahead of us. So I have to get all the right stuff in there. My negative 40 bag, some specific things that I won't need until above base camp. Then I will have my bag, just my day pack that I take with different layers, food, you know, water, any meds I might need, electronics. Then I have a Loboche bag, base camp bag. That's going to be that separate peak that we do. So that's a different set of items that we'll need. And then I also have my trekking bag, which is that's the bag that will go along with me all the way to base camp every day, carried by Sherpas and porters and that team. So tonight I've got everything, but I have to get it into its own separate bag. And then we meet in the lobby at 5 a.m. For the airport. So got to get everything done tonight.
So have you gotten used to the time difference yet?
Yeah, I'm good now. And that's the thing is most people, they arrived last night. This is not my first rodeo. So I knew ahead of time that I wanted to get in 2 days earlier to really be able to adjust. And so I'm so glad I did. And that's actually when the guides got in as well. And so I am adjusted to the time now. And I'll get a great night's sleep tonight. I'll enjoy my last shower. Well, no, actually, I did find out. It's so funny because I've been trekking in Nepal since I was 29. I'm 46 now, so it's been really amazing to see how things have changed. And man, that first time was 29. I did a trek in Annapurna, the sanctuary trek. There were no showers for 22 days. There were no showers. But here, at least, actually, there are. Like at base camp, we have a really nice setup. Oh my gosh! And there will be showers there. But anyway, I'll enjoy my Yak and Yeti hotel experience, and then tomorrow morning, we're up and go.
Okay, so tomorrow is April 1st, right?
Yes. Oh, you're right. It's April Fool's Day, isn't it?
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. I don't know if you have your schedule written out, but from the time you hit the mountain tomorrow until the time you get off and you're back where you are right now, how long do you think that's going to be?
I do think it will be just under 2 months. So we talked about it today. Our guide Casey, he said the earliest he's ever summited was May 21st, 22nd, I think around there.
Okay.
That's the earliest he's ever summited. So it will be you know, it will be that last week of May that we summit. And so
okay.
I do expect to be down by the end of May. We booked our tickets home for June 1st, And that was giving ourselves cushion. So yeah, we should be returning that into May. And my birthday is May 30th. So I'm very excited to celebrate. I know. Yes.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So how long, I had asked you when we spoke the other day, what was the route you guys took? Did you go over the Pacific? Did you go over the United States, the Atlantic? What was your route?
I flew over the United States.
Okay.
So up and over, into, and I have to tell you, so flying into Qatar, and it was that beautiful airport, and I was actually in the lounge there, and I got to take a nap, and I took a shower. It was lovely, and I think I posted on Facebook. I just ate sushi, and because I figured that was the last sushi I'll have for 2 months, and then they have one of my favorite champagnes there. So I think I put on 5 pounds just on my just on my flight over here, but it was very fun. It was really nice.
So you got to see the entire mainland of the United States. Well, of course, you were flying too high, right?
Of course, yes. But no, yeah, perfect. It was a 15-hour flight, and it was lovely, and it is pretty fun to on Instagram and that sort of social media, you see all the different people. When you get connected to the people who are also climbing this, it's like the same photos from everybody because there's very few airlines flying really into Kathmandu right now. So we're all kind of going, you're either going through Doha or you're going through Istanbul. I normally have always been a United Airlines 1K-er, but them and their affiliates aren't even flying in right now. And so, Qatar Air is, and I think a couple others, but that is it. So we are all having this similar journey. And it's actually been really nice to meet the people here that I've been communicating with for the past 2 years, but we've never met in person, and we're actually finally meeting, which is good.
So we're just about out of time. So tell everybody how they could follow your trip, your journey.
Yes, please. So my website, you can either go to Instagram and Get Grit, so GETGGRIT, or you can do my website, which is GRIT.com. I just went on today, and I'm going to start my blog on there. And I actually have a friend who's building out my website, but he has a new baby, and there's a whole and a toddler, and so he's going to. He promises by the time I get to base camp, it will be up. But I'm going to start blogging there and sharing and posting as much as I can because I really want to show, like, the landscape and the people and the culture because that trek to base camp is so amazing. So please do follow. I would love it. And follow me on Instagram and hopefully be able to share my journeys with you.
Megan, it's so good to hear your voice, and I'm sure we will talk again. So
you are my person I wanted to talk to. So, and I tell you what, I really think we'll be able to do a call at base camp, which I would love. Sure. I totally want to talk about how it is there. So it will be awesome.
Okay. Great. So you've been listening to Megan Buchanan. This is Women Who Inspire. And if you like this show, get us on Facebook. Thanks, Megan. We'll talk soon.
Thank you,
everybody.
All right. Talk soon.
Bye.